views of God in the book of Isaiah might be compared to a street. On one side of the street is where God lives, and on the other side of the street is where we live, and in between is a broad, multi-lane avenue. If we take that image, there are really two views of God in the book of Isaiah. The first one might be that we look across the street at God. And so there are verses like Isaiah 5, verse 16, "But the Lord of hosts is exalted in justice, and the holy God shows himself holy in righteousness." We look across the street and we see a just, righteous, almighty, holy God. And we look and we honor him from our side of the street. Or verses like chapter 6, verse 3 in Isaiah, where he's in the temple and hears the seraphim calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." We look across the street and we see a being who is different, other, separate, holy, holy, holy from us. Or chapter 10 of Isaiah, verse 17, "The light of Israel will become a fire and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorn and briars in one day." That there is in Isaiah this God who's on the other side of the street, a streak of vengeance, that there will be the day of the Lord. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of this God. And so we look across the street and we see a God who is holy, and we realize we're not holy. We see a God who is exalted and we feel so small. We see a God who is just and righteous and we feel unjust and unrighteous. We see a holy and compassionate God, realize we're not that way. We're looking at him across the street. And yet, even in Isaiah, this God calls to us, "Come across the street. Be holy as I am holy. Be just and righteous like I am. Be holy and compassionate just like me." But we look across the street at that God and we worship him. We honor him because he's on the other side of the street. Well, that's one view of God in the book of Isaiah, but there's a second view. The first view is we look across the street at this holy, magnificent God. But in the second view in the book of Isaiah, God leaves his side of the street and he comes over to our side of the street. That the holy God comes and lives among those of us who are not holy. The one who is just and righteous comes to the side of the street where there's little justice and righteousness. The God who is compassionate, mercy, comes to visit with us who sometimes lack in those qualities. And I suppose the text in the Bible that describes this second aspect of God is chapter 7 and verse 14. The text says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is one of the most debated and talked about texts in all the book of Isaiah. It's a problem text because the chronology of this particular chapter doesn't seem to jive with 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. It's very difficult to make them fit together. And then at the other end, we have questions about how this text relates to the one in the New Testament that Matthew quotes in his initial chapter of the gospel. Who is this woman? What does it mean when it says this word virgin or young woman? And I'm fully aware of all the debates that surround this text in Isaiah 7:14. But this morning I'd like to move beyond those debates and help us see the larger picture of what's going on. This announcement about this baby with a symbolic name comes in a series of children that have symbolic names. If you look back at chapter 7, verse 3, Isaiah takes his son Shear-Jashub out with him to meet the king. Shear-Jashub is a name that means the remnant will return. It's a very positive name. You will survive this ordeal that you're going through. In chapter 8, verse 3, we're introduced to another son of Isaiah, Malher-Shalhal-Hashbaz. Malher-Shalhal-Hashbaz. Not many children get named that name. Good reason, I suppose. It means the spoil speeds and the prey hastens. It's not a very nice name. It means the attack is coming and the booty is going to be carried away. Well, in between Shear Jashub of chapter 7:3 and Maher Shalal Hashbaz of chapter 8, verse 3, comes this little boy, whose name is Emmanuel, and he has a symbolic name, and it means that God is with us. Well, what does all this mean to us? What's going on here in this text in Isaiah 7 that makes God send us a child with this symbolic name? And how does this child help us? And why is it important that God is with us? In Isaiah 7, the prophet Isaiah is talking with the king of Jerusalem named Ahaz. Ahaz is filled with despair. He lacks faith. He's depending upon politics, military might, rather than on God. And Isaiah comes to him with the hope that he will help him see that God is with him, setting us earlier in chapter 7, verse 2. It says, when the house of David was told, that's a reference to Ahaz, Syria is in league with Ephraim, two small nations around them. His heart, that refers to Ahaz's heart, and the heart of his people in Jerusalem, shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. That word shook is also used back in chapter 6. Remember, Isaiah is in the temple. He hears the voice crying out, holy, 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 and it says the voice shakes the foundations of the temple. It's the same word. Chapter 6, the voice of God shakes the temple. In chapter 7, the fear of these two nations shake the hearts of the king and of his people. The shaking describes despair. Their world is crumbling around them. There are changes going on. The whole nation, the whole world seems to be falling apart. There's nothing to hold on to. There's no place to turn. There's no way out. Ahaz is facing a war. And the background story is told in 2 Kings 16, 2 Chronicles 28. Ahaz has just become king, very much like George W. Bush has just become president of our country. And in Ahaz's day, two small nations want him to join in a war against the big nation. And when Ahaz decides to join the big nation, rather than join in the coalition with the two small nations, those two small nations attack Ahaz. And other nations join in. They take some cities in the east, some in the west. According to Chronicles, Ahaz lost 120,000 soldiers in one battle. Others were kidnapped, carried off to a distant city. Messiah was one of Ahaz's boys, one of his sons. He's killed in battle. General Azarkan, one of his commanders, is killed in the battle. Elkanah, the Secretary of Defense, is killed in this military action. And the text says that another 200,000 men, women, and children were taken to the POW camps up in Samaria. And so from where Ahaz sits, the scene is filled with despair. Nations under attack. Loss of life is high. And the place and the time of the next attack is unknown. They don't know when it's going to come. What's the king to do? Well, God sends the prophets and the prophet's son to meet with Ahaz out by the waterworks. Ahaz apparently expecting a siege, out making sure they're going to have water if the siege does come. Perhaps God's sending Isaiah to that place so he can confront Ahaz without the court there. Isaiah does two things with Ahaz. He tells him the future and he gives him a sign. The future is that the nations attacking you are not going to continue to attack. They're going to quit. And the things you're fearing are not going to happen at all. And then he says, I'm going to give you a son, a virgin. She's going to have a baby. And she's going to name him Emmanuel. And the child's name will remind you, Ahaz, that God is with you. We can only imagine, the text doesn't say what is going through Ahaz's mind. I need tanks, and you're sending me an infant. I need weapons of war, and you're sending me a child. I want a strategy, and you're giving me symbolic names. I need more than diapers and a formula. I need an army and a navy. But God sends Ahaz a son, and this young woman conceives. 9 months later, she gives birth to a baby boy. She calls him Emmanuel. God is with you. And when the birth announcement appears in the paper, it says, Emmanuel was born on such and such a day. God is with us. And when the baby gifts arrive at the home, they're addressed to Emmanuel. God is with us. And when the midwife is talking about the summary of her activities, I was over at such and such street, helped give birth to this little boy. They called him Emmanuel. God is with us. And when the proud grandmother was down in the city square, she said, "Oh, Manuel's rolling over already, and he's smiling. And I think he even said Grandma the other day." Emmanuel, God is with us. But God is doing more here than just assigning a symbolic name. He's telling us something about Himself. He is a God who crosses the street. By the name Emmanuel, God tells us something about His heart. He can't stay on the other side of the street. He can't stay in heaven watching from a distance. He can't stay above the cherubim. He must come down and be with us. He can't fly in the clouds. He must land in our lives. And even an untrusting, doubting king like Ahaz makes God want to come down and be with him, makes God want to come down and help him out. And it's not just a willingness to cross the streets. But Emmanuel tells us that God has a desire to be with us. He wants to be among us. He wants to be near us. He wants to be next to us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be at our side. He wants to be in our presence. He wants to share our company. He wants to hold our hand. He wants to rub our shoulders. He wants to pat our backs. He wants to mop our brow. He wants to steady our arms. He wants to walk at our side. He wants to stop our shaking knees. He wants to look into our eyes, whisper into our ears, lift our chin, and give us a smile, wipe away our tears. He wants to give us backbone. He wants to hold our neck, loosen our tongue, offer His counsel, be our comforter, renew our spirit, fan our flame. He wants to rekindle our fire, be a lamp to our way, a light to our path. He wants to be a shepherd to guide our souls in the shadow of the valley of death. He wants to lead us beside still waters. He wants to restore our soul. Emmanuel! 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 He's with us. And we find ourselves replaying those events of September 11th. We see the planes crashing in the building. And we see the skyscrapers crumbling. And we see the burnt exterior of the Pentagon. And we wonder, who's going to be next? And where will they strike? And into that kind of world comes the baby. Emmanuel, I will be with you. I am on your side of the street. Don't fear what they fear, but look into my eyes and trust me. The holidays are bitter times for many of us. Mother will not be there this Christmas. Daddy won't get the tree like he always does. Family won't sing around the piano, and there'll be no rush from the upstairs bedroom down to the tree downstairs, and it makes us so sad that things aren't the way they used to be. And we wonder, will I make it? And into that kind of world comes the baby. I'm with you. I've come to your side of the street. Don't fear what they fear, but look into my eyes and trust me. The world is filled with news that's so hard to bear. Your position has been eliminated because of the recession. Your tests come back positive, and there's nothing we can do. I'm sorry. I don't love you anymore. I'm packing my bags, leaving tonight. You are to report to Fort Campbell for immediate deployment to Afghanistan. Hello, we have your son in lockup. Sorry, it's not covered by your policy. And into that kind of world comes a child, Emmanuel. I've come to be with you. I've come across the streets. Don't fear what they fear, but look into my eyes and trust me. Isaiah 7 tells us Ahaz, the king, was not convinced. He didn't believe. But the baby with the symbolic name was born. And the crisis that seemed so large passed. And every single thing that Isaiah said came to pass. And we're not told how Ahaz reacted when he saw what had happened. He had put his trust in the wrong place. And an infant was better than tanks. And the child was superior to weapons. And Ahaz is like so many of us, so hard to convince. Some of us think that God is on the other side. He's on the other side of the street. And He is never, never, never going to come to the side of the street. And then a baby comes, Emmanuel. And some of us are like Ahaz, and we think the street is so wide, the avenue is so broad, it's so busy, that He'll never come across to the other side. And then Emmanuel. That God is so holy, is so just, so powerful, He's so far above us, some of us like Ahaz think. And He just doesn't care about us. And then Emmanuel. And then God took it one step further. One dark night, He put His Son Jesus inside a woman named Mary. And 9 months later, He was born on our side of the street. Not in God's. Born in one of our houses. Not in God's. Delivered on earth. Not in heaven. And when He was born in Bethlehem, they named Him Emmanuel. And in Jesus, we learn more about God than we do from any other source, even Isaiah. And He's here because He wants to be here. He's here because He loves us. He's here because He wants to be with us. And what He's looking for is faith. And that's not what He found in Ahaz. Chapter 7, latter part of verse 9, Isaiah speaking directly of the king. If you do not believe, you will not be established. And Ahaz didn't believe. And he wasn't established. A verse picks that theme up in the New Testament, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It announces that God is crossing the street, and He's walking up your driveway and up your sidewalk. And He's coming to your front door, and He's ringing the bell. And He wants in. And we let God into our lives, Emmanuel, allow Him to be with us. In a spiritual sense, it's a response of faith, believing Emmanuel, believing that God is with us. And then beginning to change our lives so that we live the way He lived. And then embracing not just that Emmanuel was born in Bethlehem, but also embracing that Emmanuel died on the cross. And we do that through a process called baptism. We imitate His death, burial, and resurrection with a death, to sin, a burial, not in a tomb in Palestine, but in a watery grave. And then a resurrection out of baptism, out of a tomb, just like Jesus. And it's our way of responding. It's God's way of having us respond to Emmanuel. 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 If there's any way we can serve you, or help this to become more real in your life, would you make your way to the front as we stand? Let's go.